Hazard Audio.
On this episode, Steve and Matt get into the NFL with their Week 2 recap and their Week 3 picks, plus college football, MLB, and Patrick Kane. It's right here.
Recorded live at the Launchpad Studios in Chicago, Sports Appeal.
This is gonna be a home run! I just know it, because I can see into the future!
With your hosts, Steve Gross and Matt Axelrod. Play ball.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve Gross.
And I'm Matt Axelrod.
Go find us on Twitter. We're at The Sports Appeal. We love interacting with you guys. All of our music on the show is provided by Full Service. They're our studio band, and you can get all their stuff on iTunes and Spotify. With us, as always, he has 11 fewer rushing yards than DeMarco Murray, our producer, Johnny Five.
And we are powered by Hazard Audio.
This week's show, we got some college football, we got Major League Baseball. Let's start with the NFL. Matt, week two was awesome. We had a lot of good games. We only confirmed what we already knew, which is that we don't know anything about football.
Absolutely. I want to start with our against the spread picks. I went 0-3.
Not great.
It was brutal.
We got a lot of surprising wins. Buccaneers, Jaguars, Raiders, Redskins, and Browns all got wins this week. And we thought all five of those teams could potentially be the worst team in the NFL. So really, really surprising week.
This week showed us that at least as of right now, we have a new worst team in the NFL. And that is my Chicago Bears.
It's entirely possible, especially with Jimmy Clausen at the helm. He doesn't exactly instill confidence in you.
No, not at all. Clausen, no, granted, he was thrown into the fire because Jay Cutler went down with an injury in the second quarter, but he was dreadful. He couldn't do anything with the rock.
And next week against the Seattle Seahawks, it's going to be even uglier. That game is not going to be pretty.
Talking about against the spreads, this is one of the most ridiculous lines either of us has ever seen. The Chicago Bears are plus 15 at the Seattle Seahawks.
That is an insane spread. It's one of the biggest spreads that I've seen in the NFL in a long time. And you'd like to take the Bears here, but you just can't. With Cam Chancellor coming back and Jimmy Clausen running the team, no confidence whatsoever.
Absolutely not. I would stay away from that game. If pressed, gun to my head, I'd take the Seahawks to beat the spread. But that is a gigantic spread.
We've also got some surprising 0-2 teams. Baltimore Ravens, the Colts, the Seahawks. These are all teams that were popular Super Bowl picks before the season, and now they're all 0-2.
Yeah, absolutely. And out of all those teams, the team I have the most confidence in still is the Seahawks. They lost to a very good Packers team in Green Bay after losing to a Rams team. We're not quite sure what's up with the Rams yet, but in St. Louis, and the Seahawks always have trouble with the Rams in St. Louis.
I don't share the same confidence as you in the Seahawks because their division is really tough. The Cardinals look really good. The Rams' defense is insane. Their offense I have a lot of questions about, but their defense is insane. And the 49ers aren't that bad either. So their division is really tough. Of these 0-2 teams, there's a number floating around the last couple of days that 11% of 0-2 teams make the playoffs. So it's going to be essentially one of the teams with no wins right now that's going to make the playoffs this year. I'm guessing the Seahawks are your pick.
Yes, I'd say so. It's going to be a tough route for them, though, because remember, the Cardinals are my Super Bowl pick this year. So if the Seahawks are going to do it, I expect the Cardinals to win the division. The Seahawks will have to be a wild card.
I'm looking at either the Giants or the Eagles. They're both 0-2, both in the NFC East. The other two teams in that division, the Redskins, I don't buy into the Redskins at all. They did play tough in a week one loss, and they beat the Rams this week, but I don't buy into them at all. And the Cowboys lost their two best players, so the door is wide open in the NFC East for either of these 0-2 teams to get it together and jump to the front of the division, especially the Giants. They had 10-point leads in both of their games, so they could really steal a playoff spot here.
It looks like that division's wide open. The only really clearly good team in that division, the Cowboys, like you were saying, just lost Tony Romo and Dez Bryant to significant injuries. I still expect the Cowboys to have a good enough offensive line to pull it together, because whoever is throwing the ball for them is going to have like 7 seconds to find an open receiver. That gives you a lot of wiggle room to work with worse quarterbacks.
I don't know. Their offensive line has looked a little bit above average to me this year. Not like the best offensive line in football, but they do have Brandon Whedon, which according to Jerry Jones, he's a fantastic quarterback. Here's what Jerry Jones said with a little bit of editing by us here at Sports Appeal.
This quarterback, Whedon, can drive the ball downfield. Now, he's a thing of beauty on throwing a football. His passing motion, his arm, frankly, you won't see a more gifted passer.
That's right. A thing of beauty, Brandon Whedon. I have never heard anybody describe him that way before.
Yeah, that ginger fuck.
Wow. With that, we will throw it to my favorite segment, the Tweet Zone.
Tweet Zone. Hit the tweets.
Kicking off the Tweet Zone at Steven83M. The now 0-2 Eagles were overhyped going into this season, especially after seeing Sunday's game. Thoughts?
Yeah, the Eagles were really overhyped coming into the season. We knew that this would be a possibility, that what Chip Kelly was trying to do just wouldn't gel, and it's not so far at all. Their offensive line is a sad baby on fire.
Baby's on fire!
The nice. Sad baby was en fuego?
On fire.
They haven't been able to get the running game going at all. Sam Bradford has the deer in headlights look on his face all the time, even in press conferences. The Eagles are just a mess right now.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because Sam Bradford looked great in the second half of that first game. They didn't end up pulling out the win, but Bradford was really clicking, just looked like he was in control of that offense, and they were going to put it together. And then it just fell apart in week two.
Yeah, it did. And even in the second half of week two, he was better than he was in the first half. Still not great. But the Eagles, if they get it together, can still be a really good team. They have all the pieces. They just have to figure out how to get that running game going. I think they need to start going north-south instead of running towards the sideline on every damn play.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that DeMarco Murray is probably really tired from last year, and he's averaging 0.88 yards per carry before he gets touched, which is worse than the NFL last I saw.
I don't expect their rushing game to get any better this week. They're playing the Jets with that beastly defensive line, and DeMarco Murray tweaked his hamstring in practice today. He may not even play this week.
Next, we got a fantasy question for you guys. At MSedano63, should I drop Breeze since his performance is declining with no targets and get Alex Smith or keep him?
I would definitely not drop Drew Breeze. His performance hasn't been great the first couple of weeks. He does have a shoulder injury, but it doesn't seem like it's that serious. It's just a flesh wound. And I wouldn't say that he doesn't have any targets. He's got Brandon Cooks. Brandon Coleman's starting to emerge. CJ Spiller is back now. I think he does have some good targets. He just needs to get that shoulder healthy. And Alex Smith is definitely not a better fantasy quarterback than Drew Brees.
No, Drew Brees is probably going to go into the Hall of Fame at some point here. And he's not getting that old yet, so you don't want to drop Drew Brees.
Speaking of no targets, Alex Smith hasn't thrown a touchdown to a wide receiver in like 14 months.
I mean, who cares though? He throws touchdown passes to running backs and tight ends. A touchdown is a touchdown.
I'm just saying he has fewer targets than Drew Brees does.
And our next one from Kyle via Facebook. It's a two-parter question, guys.
Ooh.
First part, other than the JETS, what have been the biggest surprises from the first 2 weeks of the NFL?
Well, you already touched on this one a little bit. Stealing my thunder here, Steve, but I was going to go with the Bucks, Jags, Raiders, Redskins, and Browns all winning over the weekend.
Yeah, nobody could have ever predicted that was going to happen. My biggest surprise has been Carlos Hyde. I was not big on him in the preseason. He's leading the NFL in rushing right now, carrying the 49ers to a win. I'm absolutely blown away by him. He's got power. He's got speed. He's a really good back.
Yeah, in fact, in that first game that he played, he was an absolute monster, just making defenders look silly trying to chase after him.
And now our next question of the two-parter from Kyle. Who gets fired first, Chuck Pagano or the GM who looks like the limo driver who picked me up in Vegas?
I guess Ryan Grigson does kind of look like a limo driver. I get that, yeah. In my opinion, Grigson should get fired first just because exactly what Chuck Pagano said this week. This has been the state of affairs for Andrew Luck for the past 3 years. He has no offensive line. He's getting hit every other play, and the offensive line has not improved, and that's Ryan Grigson's fault.
Yeah, Pagano is not doing that great of a job either, to be honest. I mean, you talk to Colts fans, a lot of them are really not happy with him. He's too conservative a lot of the time in games, except when the Colts are down big. And then they hand it over to Andrew Luck, and he opens it up and gets them back into games. But on the whole, I'd have to agree that Grigson probably deserves to get fired more. I mean, you have this stud quarterback that you can't protect and can't give good targets to. What are you doing?
Yeah, the offensive line has just been five turnstiles in front of Andrew Luck. They brought in Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, who were both in the twilight of their career. I can name probably three players on the defense. They're just not putting together a good team around a potential Hall of Fame quarterback.
That wraps up the Tweet Zone. When we come back, we've got college football, and then we're going to talk some baseball.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. I know a lot of you have been wanting to try out DraftKings.com. Now is the perfect chance to do that. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You just play whenever you want, pick your sport, draft your team,
It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Last year, $300 million were won at DraftKings.com, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
And we are back. Let's start with some college football, Matt. There's a huge game this weekend. Ole Miss versus Alabama. Ole Miss went into Tuscaloosa and pretty much just scored at will on Alabama. A lot of turnovers by the Crimson Tide, but Ole Miss, you got to give them credit. They took advantage.
Yeah, they absolutely took it to them. In fact, after that game, now Ole Miss is ranked number 3 in the country, up from the mid-teens. So they're definitely being shown some respect after that. Honestly, the way the Big Ten teams that are now ranked number 1 and 2, Ohio State and Michigan State respectively, have been playing, I would rank Ole Miss ahead of either of those two.
To this point in the season, yeah, how could you not? That's a huge win over Alabama, and they scored over 70 points in their other two games. Their quarterback, Chad Kelly, who's Jim Kelly's nephew, by the way, Buffalo Bills Hall of Famer, he is the real deal. He's awesome. His game is really, really good. He's got some huge receivers to throw to. Every one of their receivers is like 6'3 and super fast. Their offense is unstoppable.
Yeah, and then you look at Michigan State and Ohio State. Look, both of those teams did great last year, and to their credit, neither of them has lost yet. But none of their wins have been that convincing.
Yeah, Michigan State got a great win over Oregon, and they beat Air Force by 2 touchdowns this weekend. They didn't look great in that game, but they were good enough to win. They're 4-touchdown favorites over Central Michigan this weekend, so we'll see if they can cover that spread, because for them to sell me on them being a great team, they're going to have to cover against a Central Michigan team that honestly isn't that bad.
Now, Michigan State is worth mentioning. Their offense is never going to be that great.
Right.
You know, Connor Cook is not an absolute stud. And then their running game is also pretty good. But the strength of that team last year and the last few years has been their defense. And their defense is allowing a lot of touchdowns to not very good teams so far.
When you compare them to Ohio State, the other team in the Big Ten, kind of going off on a little Big Ten tangent here, which is fine. Comparing them to Ohio State, you know, it's the old debate about talent versus team. Because Ohio State has some really talented athletes. They have a lot of top 5 pro prospects in like 6 different positions, not including quarterback. With Cardale Jones and TJ Barrett, which neither of them have been too impressive lately. But Ohio State has a ton of talent on their team. They're just not playing as a cohesive unit, and Michigan State is the exact opposite.
When you look at Ohio State last year on their title run, everything was firing. That team was just firing on all cylinders. Cardale Jones played absolutely lights out. He was incredible, especially in the championship game. The defense was unstoppable. The offense was scoring at will, and they just don't look like they have that chemistry this year.
I'm not sure Cardale Jones knows the playbook. That's what it looks like to me. He's just kind of going out there. He's playing football, yeah, but he's just kind of going through the motions. I would start TJ Barrett if I were Ohio State. He's a lot more versatile. He can run the ball. And he's a much better college quarterback, in my opinion, than Cardale Jones is.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on that. Now, when it comes to the pros, Cardale Jones should have more pro potential. That arm is a cannon, and it looks like he's more ready to a pro-style offense. But with the more run-central and athletic quarterback-necessary approach that you have in college, it looks like TJ Barrett is the better option.
The most impressive team in the Big Ten so far might be the Northwestern Wildcats. 3-0. Good wins over Stanford and Duke, and a 41-0 shellacking of Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Northwestern's looked incredible. Now, on the other hand, Northwestern for the last several years has looked very good until they get into conference play, and then they've just fallen apart. So we'll see what happens in a couple weeks when Northwestern gets into conference play.
Right, their first Big Ten game is against Minnesota, who is a decent team. So Northwestern could get tripped up there, but their defense has been amazing this year. They've only allowed 16 points in 3 games, and they're one of only 3 teams in all of college football, over 100 teams. They're one of only 3 to not allow a passing touchdown this season.
Yeah, that's absolutely an incredible jaw-dropping stat.
Right, so if they can get past Ball State and their first Big Ten game against Minnesota, they're going to have a big clash with Michigan at the Big House on October 10th, I'm really looking forward to that game.
Yeah, I'm not totally sold on University of Michigan yet. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is great, but they haven't really looked that convincing. And frankly, their quarterback isn't that good, in my opinion.
Totally fair. They're 2-1. Loss against Utah, and they got victories against Oregon State and UNLV. The jury's still out on Michigan. Let's talk some baseball.
The Cubs are going for their 90th win tonight. So you know what that means. Steve, say goodbye to your hair.
I've been saying goodbye to my hair for 4 years. It's been falling out for a while.
Matt Yost, your hair is next, buddy.
Axelrod and I made a bet about the Cubs at the beginning of the season. I bet that they wouldn't win 90 games, which at the time was a great bet. It was a totally safe bet. And we had two other friends join us in the bet. Our friend Matt Yost, he's a friend of the show. He hosts from time to time. Has a beautiful head of long flowing hair, and he's about to lose it all, so that's going to be beautiful.
So if you guys have any bets you want to make or you want us to make, let us know, tweet at us at the Sports Appeal, and we'll work it in.
We're always looking for creative stakes because we go head-to-head on a lot of things. Send us your ideas.
Other news in Major League Baseball right now is the Kansas City Royals, who've been one of the hottest teams in baseball all year. Right now they're 4-6 in their last 10, and they're looking terrible. Now they're not in any danger of losing in their division because they're 10 games up with only like 12 games left, so they should be just fine there. But it's looking dicey in terms of the first round of the playoffs for them if they can't get their shit together.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before where this is not the time of year where you want to be losing steam. You do not want your team to be on a downward trend at the end of the year because it's all about who is the hot team in September and October. Look at the Rockies back in 2007. They were an average team. Then all of a sudden they won like 19 games in a row to make the playoffs, and they kept winning and made it all the way to the World Series. So all it takes is getting hot. Kansas City is moving in the wrong direction.
We were talking last week about the St. Louis Cardinals. It looked like they were moving in the wrong direction, and they seem to have turned it around. Other than losing 2 of 3 to the Cubs, they've won 7 of their last 10 and appear to be back on track. They're now no longer really in any danger of losing the division either, which it looked like the Pirates were right on their tail for a minute there.
Yeah, the Pirates and the Cubs are definitely going to get the wild card spots in the National League. In the American League, the Yankees are probably going to get the first wild card spot, but the second one's still up for grabs. Houston, Minnesota, and the Angels are all right there. They're all within 1.5 games. They're all within 1.5 games of each other, and any one of them could really grab it at this point.
Yeah, you know what I really want to see is a tie for it, because I know the one-game wild card and play-in games are controversial, and a lot of people hate them. I love them. There's so much heart that goes into those games. I mean, that Kansas City Royals-Oakland A's game last year for the play-in game was some of the best baseball I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it definitely makes for exciting baseball. Baseball's kind of hard to watch on TV, to be honest with you, but playoff baseball is great, especially one-game play-ins. It's fantastic. There's an electric atmosphere in the stadium, and you can feel it at home.
So if we can get 2 of those just out of the American League, plus the one we're getting from the National League, that will be awesome. Coming on up, we're going to touch on the Patrick Kane situation and talk about our Week 3 against the spread picks in the NFL. And then, you know it, sports madness.
Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com. Last year, $300 million were won, and you could be the next to win big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter promo code HAZARD to play for free. That's HAZARD for free entry now at DraftKings.com.
Welcome back to Sports Appeal. I'm Steve. That guy's Matt. We're going to start with a very serious story in the world of sports. On August 1st, Patrick Kane of the Chicago Blackhawks was accused of rape stemming from an incident that occurred apparently at his upstate New York home just outside of Buffalo.
Yeah, and the investigation has been ongoing. There was a rape kit done. Now, we're just going off of information from leaks to the media here. It's pretty much all that's come out. There have been very few official statements released, but a couple days ago it was leaked that Patrick Kane's DNA was not discovered in the rape kit results. However, DNA from 2 other men was discovered. And then as of today, the day we're recording, which is Wednesday, the attorney for his alleged accuser held a press conference where he stated that Tuesday afternoon, the alleged victim's mother came home from work and saw a bag on her front doorstep, which was the bag that the rape kit had been held in. So somehow, apparently, there was a breach in the chain of custody of the rape kit, and according to them, caused the integrity of the entire investigation into question. Since then, reports have come out that there was no breach in the chain of custody, and in fact, the Erie County Police say they still have all of the parts of the rape kit, which makes you wonder, what does this attorney have? So that's where we stand right now. Not a whole lot of answers, really just a ton of questions going on.
Yeah, it's hard to know if any of this is credible, that something fishy is going on, but this is a controversy to keep your eye on. We'll see what happens.
As more news breaks, we will discuss it more here on Sports Appeal, and we'll update you via Twitter at the Sports Appeal.
All right, let's move on back to the NFL. Let's do our week three picks for the season. I am winning, no surprise there. I'm 4-2, you are 2-4 after your big stinker, your big donut you put up this week. I'll let you have the honors. Who are you picking first this week?
First, I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, our 6.5-point underdog. Dogs in this game. They've been underwhelming their first week. They pulled out a surprising win against the Saints in New Orleans last week, so I expect them to, at the very least, cover the spread and make this an interesting game.
Yeah, not a whole lot of confidence in Ryan Mallett under center there for Houston, so I could see that. My first game, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons, another surprising 2-0 team. A couple of big wins against the Eagles and the Giants. They've got the Cowboys in Dallas this week with Brandon Weeden playing quarterback, and the Falcons have been really good. Their offense has been unbelievable, and their defense has been adequate. So I'll take the Falcons minus 2.5.
For my next pick, I'm going to take the Broncos. They're favored by 3.5 points at the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions just put up a terrible game at home against the Vikings, so I don't expect a whole lot out of the Lions. They don't look like a very good football team this year at all.
My second pick, I'm going to go with Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. They're playing the Titans. Colts are minus 3.5. The record against AFC South teams with Andrew Luck as quarterback is really, really good, and I don't think the Titans are that good. 3.5 points at Tennessee, I'll take the Colts.
Yeah, that's understandable. Now, for my last pick, the Kansas City Chiefs are 7-point underdogs to the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers are definitely good. They're 2-0. They have a moderately impressive win over an underwhelming Bears team and a very impressive win over the Seahawks, but the Kansas City Chiefs are a solid team, and they're known to come up with upsets. I don't agree with them being 7-point underdogs here, even though this game is in Green Bay, so I feel very confident in taking the Chiefs to beat the spread.
That is a big spread, but Aaron Rodgers at home on Monday night, national television, I would take the Green Bay Packers in that game. I'm not, though. If I was going to pick them, I would pick the Packers. But my last team is the Oakland Raiders, plus 3.5 against the Cleveland Browns. The Raiders looked good last week, and the Browns also looked good, but Josh McCown is back. So this is more of a bet against Josh McCown than it is on the Raiders.
Perfectly understandable. When Josh McCown isn't being coached by Mark Trestman, who somehow gets magic out of that.
It's always Trestman with you.
I just don't get it. Trestman's a terrible coach and McCown's a terrible quarterback. But you put them together, magic happens.
Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall.
That helped.
Matt Forte.
That helped.
Martellus Bennett.
That helped.
Matt, I got a question for you.
What to that, Steve?
You ready for sports madness?
No.
Sports madness.
All right, our first story is from PGA. Jason Day, an Australian golfer, was being interviewed recently, and he said the most peculiar thing.
If we had to put in words these days, it's like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy had a baby and that was it.
So basically, that guy's awesome, and that guy's awesome, and if they got together and had a baby, they'd have a super awesome baby, and that's me.
Yeah, Jason Day's a pretty good golfer, but come on, dude, have a little friggin' humility.
I mean, I'm sure he was kidding. It just didn't sound like a joke to me. Like, he sounds conceited.
Our next story comes to us from out of the country a little bit. The Toronto Blue Jays are looking at a playoff run here, playing great baseball. And this guy got a little bit too into the festivities at a game. Now, this man somehow managed to fall asleep while pissing at a urinal at the Blue Jays game. And he fell asleep on the urinal and knocked it off the wall and flooded the stadium. That's not the worst part.
How could this possibly be worse?
He was half naked, and guess which half?
Oh, don't tell me the bottom half.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have any pants on?
He was pantsless.
Where are his pants?
No one knows. It's a mystery.
Even if you're at a urinal, your pants should still be on. Where are his pants?
I mean, I've seen the awkward people that do the, like, around the ankles thing. Apparently, he went even past that.
Oh, like, my God. This is terrible.
So keep it classy, Toronto.
Oh, Canada. That's okay. The Rogers Center should be flooded with toilet water at all times. And our last story comes to us from one of the most competitive sports in the world. Badminton.
Oh, yeah.
So the Badminton World Federation is looking to implement a new sexy image.
Yeah, because when you think badminton, you think sexy.
I know I do. So, yeah, apparently even in China, where badminton is super popular, starting to be eclipsed by the NBA and quote-unquote more glamorous sports. So in order to improve their image, apparently they're saying everything is on the table. New scoring, new advertising, and even new shuttlecocks.
The best sports object in the world, the shuttlecock.
This isn't the first time they've tried to sexualize their image. A few years ago, they made a move to gain popularity, and they made all the women players wear skirts. So apparently that isn't moving the needle enough, no pun intended. I realized how bad that sounded as I was saying it.
Skirts and shuttlecocks, what else do you need? And that'll do it for today, but join us next week here on The Sports Appeal. Tweet at us at The Sports Appeal. Find us on Facebook. We're produced by Johnny Five, powered by Hazard Audio, and playing us out, speaking of shuttlecocks, is Rocket Ships by Full Service. Who wants a great escape? Who wants to run away? Who wants to leave the day and start a new society? Who wants to stick around? Come up from underground. Who wants to shut them down and move the movement forward now? Who wants the big things? Who wants to really think? Who wants the big wings? What is it you're gonna bring? Who wants to give it up? Just grab a cup and fill it up. Who wants to stick around and get the people fired up? Assuming
choked like Mike Tyson in a spelling bee.
Hazard Audio.